If we come here broken, God, we come here needing rescue. We come here needing redemption. We come here fallen. Every one of us, even the ones who look like we have it together, God, we come to you messed up. And we come recognizing our need. God, would you meet us in that spot? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can have a seat.
Amen. Well, it was an absolutely incredible day outside today. Would you agree? So, thank you, Jesus, for that. Even tonight, sorry I missed some of the skits, but I just had to walk out kind of back here into the woods a little bit and just look at the stars. And it just seemed like there were thousands of stars up there. And as I prayed for us tonight, I just said, Lord, would you just pour out your spirit on us? Would you reveal something new to us tonight and even this weekend? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to go home the same, you know? Like, I want to go home, like, not just with more knowledge, but with, like, a deeper relationship and understanding of who Jesus is. And so, I know Ben just prayed, but I want to do again just 30 seconds. I want you to pray for me. I want you to just pray for yourself that you'd have ears to hear, and then I'll pray for us. So let's do that together. Lord, we do ask that you would meet us here tonight. We know you're already in the room. And God, we pray that you would expand our minds, that you would open our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would work in and through us. And Lord, we don't want to be the same. We want to be more like your Son, Jesus. And so tonight, as we are in awe and absolute wonder, that you would send your Son to die for us, to rescue us, to give us new life. I pray that we would celebrate that, Lord. I pray that we would grasp onto that. Lord, it would change everything we do, everything we say, everyone we interact with. And Lord, I come against Satan tonight that maybe would try to confuse or to hold us back from the incredible gift of your Son. And so bless our time together. Lord, speak in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, tonight's the last time I'm going to be with you. Unfortunately, I can't be here in the morning, so I'll miss you. I won't miss, the vinyl mattresses or anything. But tonight is kind of that cataclysmic night that we talk about hope and we talk about the rescue. And before we get into that, I want you to maybe write this down, but you can kind of see that link up there. So at Spread Truth, where I work, one of the things that we've developed is viewthestory.com. And this is where we've had just over 1 million people now be able to read or watch the gospel story online. I'm going to show you that film tonight. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but this is more like semantics or details. But write this down. And here's what's cool about this is that if you go to that link, you here as Encounter can all create a free individual account on viewthestory.com, and you can share it on Facebook, Twitter, email to someone, send a text message. In your account or on the app, you can then see who is opening that and looking at that around the world with real-time analytics. Now, by going to that link, you're going to join the Encounter group, and what's amazing about this is that you can see how many of you together, you're going to see dots from other people sharing it and where it's going. And I guarantee you'll be blown away, because every time we show up somewhere and we do this, people are like, oh, we've had 18 countries in like a week that have like seen the gospel message. And I want to tell one story real quick of rescue. And then we'll get into more details tonight. But we're going to watch this short film that we've created at Spreadshoot tonight called The Story. And we're going to kind of end things with it, because it's what we've been talking about this week. We've been going through the meta narrative of Scripture, creation. Actually, I'll do it backwards. Creation, so you guys see it we have the fall, right? The obstacles. We're talking about rescue tonight. Tomorrow morning, even though I'm not here, it's kind of restoration and future. Like, where do we go from here? What's the legacy that we want to leave? What do we want our lives to be about? But to share that, we're going to see that in this film tonight. And it's been done in a way that I've always dreamed of, to be able to see those pieces and communicate clearly the gospel message. So much that every unbelieving friend that I have, I want them to see it because it's so good and it's so true and it's so life-changing. We've even been blown away lately that we were in New York City and we were sharing the film with a lot of different people. We had people sharing it that typically don't share Christian things. We had a lesbian married couple just go, this film was amazing, and they're sharing it on their Facebook wall because their hearts were longing for it. And so it's exciting to share that tonight. So by signing up, you're able to share that same film. You're able to use the app to walk someone through the gospel story, and it's a tool to equip you and to do something you're already doing, is that share things online via social media. And again, we've been blown away. I mean, I think in the last 2 months, 100,000 people have watched it and seen it around the world. And so we can see as Encounter, what's the impact that we're going to have? How far is it going to go? So check that out. I know the cell service is bad here. I'm going to ask you to pull your phone out now, but maybe when you get back home to write that down. And I'll have those guys email that out too, so you'll be able to see some maps and analytics, and it's going to be neat. But the story I wanted to tell was, we just heard this like a couple weeks ago. Someone signed up for an account, shared it on Facebook, shared the link, and you click, and they just watch the film. You know, it's so simple. And this guy emailed us that he was the Christian that shared it. His name's Eric, and he said, you're not going to believe what happened. He said, I was looking at my map to see where it was going, and I noticed a dot on Kuwait City. And he's like, I didn't know who it was, but then I got a message on Facebook, and it was a friend that I hadn't talked to in a long time that was in the U.S. Army, and he happened to be stationed in Kuwait City. And what he told me was that he was getting on Facebook one last time because all of his friends had been killed. He had been there a long time, and he was getting ready to take his life. He said, I wanted to get online and share kind of like my, almost like a suicide note per se online. But he said, in my feed, I saw that link and I was drawn to it. I clicked on it. I watched the film. And he goes, I gave my life to Christ. And I have new life. And so we all have the power to share that gospel story. We talk about stories, and just to kind of bring everything to a head here tonight, and then we'll dive into the rescue. It's so important that we're listening. It's so important that we're sharing our stories. It's so important that, we're sharing the gospel story because it is the only story that redeems every other story. It's the only story that will redeem your story. And there's such power in that. And I hope that as you leave here, yeah, it is about our hearts, and we got to get things right, but it's not about just keeping it to ourselves, right? It's about going on a campus and being the light of the world and being the message bearer that has the answer. You have the answer to every problem that exists in this world. And his name is Jesus. Isn't that exciting? So sign up for that. It's a very cool tool. But I want to talk about hope tonight. I want to talk about the rescue of Jesus, and this is so powerful. We're going to be digging into a lot of scripture tonight, and hopefully this won't be super long. We're going to watch some video clips that hopefully just really bring us to a place tonight that we understand rescue in a bigger way. And that if you don't know Jesus and you're here this weekend and you're just kind of searching, that you could say, it's time for me to go all in because I will never be the same. Now, hope is that important piece that, every story needs it. You know, we all need, we're all longing for something that kind of can help us turn that corner. And one thing that's really interesting about the rescue of Jesus is that it was forecast from the Old Testament. So through the whole story of the Bible, there's all these, kind of prophecies, and I'd call them a forecast, that something was coming. It even started in Genesis 3 after they ate the fruit, and we talked about creation, that God said, I'm going to crush crush Satan. And it was already saying, I'm going to do something in the future that is going to relinquish that. But I'm going to read Philippians 2, 5 through 7, if you can see it up there on the screen. And it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was the form of God, he did not count equality with God, rather the thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men. Now, this is something that really changed a lot for me in my understanding of Jesus, and I'm going to just touch upon this for a moment tonight. You know, those our theological friends out there, it's known as the hypostatic union. Now, I want to explain it to you, because this is a game changer for me in high school. I was a believer, I knew Jesus, but I kind of had this mindset that, you know, of course Jesus was perfect, right? He was God. You know, like, he had superpowers, per se. Like, you know, oh yeah, we should be like him, but I can never be him. And if you think of it that way, you're kind of limiting his power. Now, what the hypostatic union is, it's this term that explains that Jesus was fully God, yet at the same time, so he's 100% God, but he was 100% man. He wasn't 50-50. He wasn't, you know, 75-25, but he was amazingly both. But a great analogy I've heard from a friend of mine, he said it's kind of like you have, you know, the power of the universe, but you're kind of putting it away so that you can actually live a human life. Because he came, right? He was born of a virgin, Mary. This is a screenshot from our animation. You'll see this in a little bit. But he was born, he lived, and he was one of us. Now, there's another piece that Jesus later says that he's saying, I'm full of you. He was hungry, right? He cried. He sweat droplets of blood before the cross, which is actually a proven scientific thing in your body that when you're under such duress or stress that you can actually, your capillaries will burst and you can bleed out from your sweat glands. He experienced that. He experienced incredible pain on the cross. You know, I always laugh sometimes too, and my kids think this is funny, but, you know, he had a bad taco sometimes, you know, fish taco on the beach there, you know, but he experienced everything that we did. And what changed for me when I learned this was that, what did Jesus say? He said we would do greater things than he did. You remember that? And man, that's always caught me like, whoa. But he was fully man and he was fully God. And he masked his deity so that he could be the true atonement, the true sacrifice for us. And we can't think anymore that, oh, he was just God. He had all these superpowers, you know, but he had to deny himself. He had to submit himself to the will of God. And so that's an important piece when we think about Jesus, that yeah, he was the spotless lamb. He lived a perfect life. He had to, because if he would have failed, then he wouldn't have been the once and for all sacrifice for us. So I want to dig into a little scripture as we look at, you know, he rescued us on the cross. And there's some really cool things that happened. And so whether you know the story or not, Jesus is arrested. He is, you know, he's beaten. He's mocked. He is pretty much given a criminal's death. And he's tasked to carry his cross to go to, you know, the place where he'll be nailed to it. He would die. But this was part of the plan the whole time. And it was part of the plan because God knew that we needed a rescuer that would come once and for all. And he was called, you know, the new Adam. Like, Adam was there in the beginning in the harmonious moments of creation, and everything broke, right? Everything was completely broken. But he came back, and Jesus came, and once and for all, he closed the gap, and he made a way for us. Now, I want to look at Matthew 27. So if you have your Bibles and you can see them, we're going to turn to verse 45. So Matthew 27, 45 through 54. Now from the sixth hour, this is him on the cross, and he's hanging there. And it says that there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And at about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, and he filled it with sour wine, and he put it on a reed, and he gave it to him to drink. But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what had took place, they were filled with awe. And they said, truly, this was the Son of God. And there's two interesting things that happen there. One is that the veil in the temple was torn in two. Now, I saw a cool rendering of this, and I want to briefly explain this, is that the Jews had the temple, right? And this is where they would do their sacrifices, and you had the priests, and only the high priest could go behind this curtain, that kind of separated the Holy of Holies from kind of the other priests, and then the commoners would come further out. But only one person could go in there because it was like the presence of God. Like no one could get in there except the high priest. Now, if you look at this, this is a pretty giant curtain, right, or veil. And what's interesting is if you do a little research on that, you can go back and you can read that. In Solomon's temple, and this is what they had kind of used as their guide, but it was 30 cubits high, but Herod had increased it to 40 cubits, according to some writings and some historians. But they think it was about 60 feet high. That's pretty high. And they think that it what they called is a hand length of thickness, but they actually said that's from here to here, so it's about 4 inches thick. And even that, it was braided. It wasn't just like a cloth. Like they would braid this veil together. And there are some writings, the Talmud, which is like a rabbinic Judaism kind of a document or some details. But it said that it would take 300 priests to take it down to clean it. And so you see the massiveness of this, that this veil was huge, it was hanging, it was the separation to say, God's in here, we're out here, we can't go through this. And what happened was that the moment Jesus died, that was just completely ripped in two. Now this is incredible news for us tonight. Because what that means, and in the symbolism there, was that you no longer had a separation between you and God the Father. That Jesus, the rescuer that had been predicted for thousands and thousands of years and who we'd been waiting for, gave up his perfect life. The veil is torn in two. The earth shakes. It's dark. And this is the part I always forget, that like tombs were opened and saints that had died like just came out and they were alive. And they went into the city. You know, like you imagine that being like, hey, there's Jim. Whoa, he died like 6 months ago. And, you know, like they bursted out of the tombs because Jesus came and he was already giving new life. The veil was torn. He was saying, you can be one with the Father because of me. And this is incredible news for us tonight. Whether you're a believer or not, that God has made a way. That he has torn that veil in two so that we could be one with our Heavenly Father. We could know Him intimately, that He could be so close to our heart and so interested in what we're doing and so wanting to radically change who we are in His likeness, to give us a new life. I want to read this passage. This is the Message version, but this is Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. And this is really just kind of reiterating that this veil is gone now. We have access because of Christ, because of the cross, because His blood was shed, because He rose again. And it says, so friends, we can now without hesitation, we can walk right up into God, into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of His sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is His body. So Jesus' body is the curtain now, but we have oneness with Him. We can go straight to the Father. So the second part of this, so let's do it full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps His word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching, the big day of His return. So, are you full of belief tonight? Are you confident that you are presentable to God? And here's what I love. I've always heard this definition of grace, and it's always blown me away, because the idea of grace is that, you know, there's nothing we can do to make God love us more. Okay? So there's nothing you can do like, hey, I'm going to sing in the church choir, or I'm going to do a missions trip. There's nothing you can do. Like, you can't increase or decrease God's love. It is constant. But the other side of it is that there is nothing you can do to make Him love you less because of Jesus. And that is good news tonight. So it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. There's nothing that is going to increase or decrease His love. It is just beyond your imagination and more than you'll ever understand. I want that. I want that kind of love. I want that kind of understanding that in everything I do, whether I take a step and I fail, you know, or I do something that, oh, Lord, that was so wrong. But His love doesn't change. It remains the same. That He died, He rose again, and that His love for me is, it's just overflowing. It's such good news. I know for me, and I think maybe some of us that have grown up in the church, and we've heard this message a lot. Sometimes I think it can be like, yeah, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and you know, there He is right there and on that painting, and you know, like, it's kind of like we lose a little bit of that like sense of urgency that, wow, He has completely washed all my sin away, and He has rescued me from depravity and just the awful things of this world, and even my own just default sin. Now, the disciples said something that was interesting, and this is in Mark chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. And Jesus was kind of talking to the crowds, and in verse 26, the disciples were astounded. And they were like, Jesus, then who in the world can be saved? It was a heavy message, right? And they asked Jesus, and they looked at Him intently and said, and Jesus said, humanly speaking, to be saved, it is impossible. And we kind of talked about that a little this morning, that there, we can try to overcome our sin and these things and these obstacles, but humanly it is impossible. But then Jesus continues, He says, but not with God. Because everything is possible with God, and that's the rescue of Jesus, that He's made a way for us. Now, recently I was watching, we lost signal here. So recently I was watching a documentary, and it kind of blew me away because it was one of those things that I've never seen a rescue like this before. And so I'm going to show you this in a second. But I think one of you guys doing a skit knocked my power supply out. So it's minus 50 points. I'm just kidding. I'll just restart it. So as I'm bringing this back up, let me tell you about this documentary I saw. I'm going to show you a clip from, it was called Escaping ISIS. And we hear a lot about it in the news today, right? There's some just very atrocious things that are happening. And I've seen a lot of rescue videos, you know, you see them on YouTube, if you watch Weather Channel, you know, all the time, and if you're super, like, weather nerd, you know, it's like someone's always hugging a tree, like, in a flood, and they come in and they rescue them, and that's cool. And there's some great stuff in there, right? You're kind of holding on for dear life, and, you know, as you're letting go of the tree, it's kind of the cool symbol that you're letting go so they can rescue you. But I saw this. And they have like an underground railroad where they're rescuing these women and these families out of ISIS control. And so when I saw this rescue, it blew me away because I was like, I've never seen anything like this. And what they're doing is that they have contacts on the inside. And they are sneaking these families out. And this is kind of a clip of one of them being rescued. And to be honest, I watched it the other day. Oh man, my laptop is really struggling here. But I watched it the other day and I cried when I saw this because it was so powerful. So let's watch this. And even as I watch it right now, I get tears in my eyes because, the rescue of Jesus is so much better than that. It's bigger than that because there's so much more at stake. And that is awful, what's happening. But are we running to him and are we falling at his feet? And are we weeping and saying, I'm so grateful to you for what you've done for me. You've rescued me not just from my sin, but from hell and from so many awful things. And, you know, no peace and no joy and no life. And I saw that just a few weeks ago. I mean, this is recent. This happened, like, I think they recorded that 8 months ago. And I was just so blown away by it because I was like, to be rescued, like those little girls, you know, that's my daughter's age, to be pulled out and to just weep and to fall into the arms of their family. Like, that's how I want to run to Jesus. When he's rescuing me from the sin in my life or just from a situation that I can't function inside of it. Because his rescue is so good that it washes everything away. It's a new start. It's you know, it's new life. And as we sometimes take it maybe for granted or too lightly, that we run to him and we say, Jesus, I want to give you everything. I need you. I need you. This last video that I want to show you tonight is this animation of the meta-narrative. And I want it to sink in that the whole story, the creation, fall, rescue, restoration, it's so important that we understand it ourselves so that we can walk in relationship with him It's so important for us to know, because we need to tell others and we need to know it inside and out so we can share the clear gospel message. And so let's watch this and then we'll close tonight. And that's the gospel story. That's the story of the whole Bible. That's the story you can share online. And tonight, that's such good news for us. Because the rescue of Jesus changes everything. He's alive and he's well. And here's what I want to close with tonight is, if you've said yes to him, and you would say, yeah, I live for Jesus, then I want you to know what that means. That means that you are forgiven. Romans 8:1 says that you are a child of God. Ephesians 2:11, you have access to God. Hebrews 4:16, you're reconciled. 2 Corinthians 5, you're justified. Romans 4 and 5, you are placed in Christ. Romans 6, Romans 8, Romans 12, you are acceptable to God. Ephesians 1:4, 1 Peter 2, you have heavenly citizenship. Philippians 3, Luke 10, Hebrews 12, you're of the family and household of God. It says that in 1 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 2, you're in the fellowship of the saints. 1 Corinthians 12, you're within the care of God. Like, he's watching out for you. In Romans 5, glorified. Romans 8, you have a heavenly association. Colossians 1, John 5, 1 Timothy 2, they all say that. You are on the rock, Christ Jesus. Matthew 7, 1 Corinthians 3, you are a part in the eternal plan of God. You were before the foundation of the earth, right? And we talked about that on Monday. On the first day of our beginnings. Acts 2 says that. 1 Peter 1, Romans 8, 1 Thessalonians 4. You're redeemed, Galatians 5, Romans 3. You are in the living relationship with the Most High God. You have a personal relationship with Him. John 2, Romans 3, 25, Hebrews 2, 17 says that. You are free from the law, Romans 8. You are adopted. Ephesians 1 talks about that. You are brought near to God. Ephesians 2, James 4, Hebrews 10. You are delivered from the power of darkness. Satan can't harm you anymore. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 says that. 1 John 5, 19. Ephesians 6. You have entrance into a new kingdom. Colossians 1, 1 Thessalonians 2, 2 Peter 1. They say that. You are a gift from God to Christ, that you are a gift to Christ. John 17 and John 18 say that you are members of a royal and holy priesthood. Exodus 19:6, 1 Peter 2, 5 through 9 talk about that. You are a chosen generation, a holy nation. 1 Peter 2. You are his inheritance. Ephesians 1, Colossians 3 say that. You are the inheritance of the saints. 1 Peter 1, 4, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. You are the light of the world, Ephesians 5, 8. You are united to the Father, to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1, Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 2. You are blessed with the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 23, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 5. You are complete in Him. You don't need anything. You're complete in Jesus. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 say that. And you possess every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1, 3. And finally, there's so much more. We're just scratching the surface. But you are free. Those girls and those families were freed. They were slaves. They were held by something that they couldn't escape. And they needed someone else to come rescue them, and they risked their lives. But Jesus came and he did that for you. And in John 8:36, it says, so if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. And so, if you know Jesus tonight and you've already been in relationship with him, are you living that out? Does the rescue mean that much to you that you could weep and you could just fall into his arms and say, thank you. Continue to restore me. And maybe tonight you don't know who Jesus is, or you've never entered into a personal relationship with him. Are you willing to run into his arms? Because I guarantee it'll be the best thing that you ever do. And you will know peace, and you will know joy, and you will have new hope like never before. Does that mean your life will be perfect? No, but you have someone that is working on your behalf. Someone that is always there. Someone that will never fail you. So tonight, I want you just to, I know you're tired, it's been a long week, and I want you to spend a moment and think, and I want you to close your eyes for a moment. And I know that's hard because you might go into a super nap here, but don't do it. But I want you just to, it's just you and Jesus right now. And I want to talk about three areas of rescue tonight. And the first is the biggest. It's salvation. It's saying yes to Jesus. It's saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to get to know you more. And here's the thing. You don't have to clean your life up first and then come to him. It's actually the opposite. You just come to him and then he helps clean up your life. He actually makes you completely new. So it doesn't matter what's happened in the past, what you've done, what you haven't done. But that's salvation, and that's part one, is saying yes to him and saying, Lord, I put my faith in you. I believe in you. Forgive me of my sin and make me new. Now, the second piece tonight is maybe you've known Jesus for a little bit or a long time, but you need rescue from something that happened to you or something that was done to you. There's some of us here that have been verbally abused, physically abused, sexually abused. There's other things that have happened. You might have lost someone. Just you're in a car accident and someone... There's all these things that you need to be rescued from that tonight. And Jesus wants to come in and just wash it away and give you peace and give you that grace. And he wants you to fall into his arms weeping and saying thank you. And you feel it, and you feel it wash away. So that second piece is you need to be rescued from something that has happened to you or been done to you. And then finally, number three is that tonight, again, you know Jesus and you're in a relationship with him, but you need to be rescued from something that you're doing. Something that is holding you back from so many things or from freedom. To get deeper with him. And so what I want you to do right now is, if any of those apply to you, I want you to make a physical commitment by just standing up. And there's nothing to be ashamed of, because we actually all just need that. But to stand up and just say, I need one of those rescues. And we're going to continue in worship. We're going to head out to the fire in a bit. And it's okay not to stand, because maybe, you know, things are good. But to stand up and to proclaim that, Jesus, I need more of you. And I want you just to pray right now and to say, Lord, help me. I need your help. I need your rescue in this place. And you can say it to just you and him, but say it specifically. I know for most of us, we don't have to think long about what it is. We know what it is. It plagues us. It's constantly in front of us. It feels like it may never go away, but the truth is that all those things I read are true. And he wants to sanctify you. He wants to wash it all away. And it might not be overnight. It might take the rest of your life. But he's there. And his rescue is like nothing else that you'll ever experience.